This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. This is John Lyons, right now on WEEI.
Ellie, I want to ask you, Ethan Chisholm, just undrafted free agents in general, what goes into trying to find these guys and bring them in and knowing that, hey, they can contribute and bring something to our football team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about, you know, really Coach Vrabel and I believe in the ability for these guys to make the team. We don't care where you're from, where you came from, if you're a first-round pick or a free agent. So, you know, just making sure that everybody knows we have that opportunity.
11 o'clock hour. I'm John Lyons here on WEEI. And I was just talking some Red Sox. I'm going to get back to Red Sox later on. We will have the pregame show with the big dog himself, Joe Weil, at 12:30.
The big dog.
Yeah. Joe Weil. And that voice you just heard was Tom Carroll. And why do I have Tom Carroll in studio to talk about Efton Chisholm? Because Tom Carroll and I are WEEI's version of undrafted free agents.
Wow, okay.
Here we are. And I was talking to Tom a little earlier about Efton Chisholm. And I want to have a little bit of a larger discussion with you, because in that clip, Elliot Wolf talks about, well, we don't care where you were drafted and whatnot. And that, to me, that's the right mentality. The other side of that is they do have two second-year receivers that Elliot Wolf drafted kind of high. One of them in the second round in Polk, another one in the fourth round in Baker. And I don't know about you, Tom. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. I'm at the point now where Chisholm, to me, is on the roster over both of those guys.
Yeah, it's no question. It's no question. He's had the better camp. He's had the better preseason. And we saw it building through the spring. And I think a lot of what Vrabel has continued to emphasize is guys getting better every single day. And Efton Chisholm has gotten better every single day he has been in a Patriots uniform, where Polk and Baker have stagnated. And I think Baker has shown some moments.
I would even say Polk's kind of regressed.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back to last year's training camp.
No, you're right.
And I don't know if you were down, because I know you came on EEI about a year ago.
No, so my first week was like a week before training camp started. So I was there the whole thing. So
okay.
I saw the Polk experience. I was excited. I bought in.
Yeah, I was excited in training camp too. I mean, he was good in training
good.
Camp last year. And then he got progressively worse during the season.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to be unkind here, Tom, but you've been to training camp. I've been there. He has not done anything that has stood out to me.
No.
Now, he hasn't made a bunch of mistakes either, but like I can't think of a play or two that he made that I'm like, oh, hey, that was pretty good.
So the only things I can think of are from non-11-on-11 things. So
yeah.
it's sort of like
kind of grain of salt.
Right, how much credit do you give him there? There were some nice catches in there. You know, there were like more 7-on-7 type stuff,
yeah.
Half field stuff, but when it comes to the full team drills, he has not really stood out at all. And he hasn't been able to be on the field. So it's one of those things where Vrabel and Wolf both emphasized clean slate, right? But if you can't be on the field to take advantage of the clean slate, it's just not going to happen for you. So he wasn't good enough in his rookie year to kind of buy himself the leeway he needs to make this roster now, given the talent that's here, on top of the fact that now he isn't healthy enough to be out there and take advantage. So it's unfortunate because he is a young player. Like, if he goes somewhere else and he does have a nice career, I think Pats fans will be mad, right? Like, that's just the nature of the business.
Oh, it'll be frustrating.
It will be frustrating. But at the same time, when you take all the context in of he was a rookie playing in a dumpster fire of a situation, and then coming into year two where they were going to give him that opportunity, he wasn't healthy enough to take advantage. So timing is everything too with this situation.
Yeah, and I know this is going back a little ways, but I think it's really relevant. And at the end of last season, Fitzy and I were doing a night show here. We had Chad Graff on. I don't know if you remember that piece for The Athletic Chad Graff wrote about the Patriots season last year. Remember it had Mayo going back and playing cards and playing all that?
Right. It was the week where everyone was doing the Now They Told Us.
Yeah, all the hit pieces stories. And again, I say hit piece, but you know, plenty of it was probably true.
Oh, yeah.
He said something that really stood out at the time, and I still think about it now. And he said that there were people in the Patriots front office that believed at that time, and this is after last season, that the Patriots had had a really good draft, but those guys had not been coached well. And with a new staff, those guys would all be better. And I think we've seen Drake May has been better. He has. Polk has not been better. Baker's, I think, been marginally better. Layden Robinson and Caden Wallace haven't really seen much out of them. And I know some of that's a health situation with Wallace. Haven't seen really anything out of them. So I don't know. Maybe they just didn't. Because I look at a guy like Chisholm, and I agree with you. I just think he's been flat out better than those guys. Because when I look at their receiver group, like, Diggs is obviously the number one guy. Like, he's the guy. Douglas has been really good, and he is a guy. Booty, I think. See, Booty's a guy. He's taken a real step forward.
Huge step.
Like, coming into training camp, I was like, man, I don't know. Kayshon Booty, does he get it? Like, is he going to be on the same page? And even Vrabel expressed some kind of backhanded frustrations, remember, about Booty's conditioning in the spring.
Like, right.
I think Booty's been their second best outside receiver in camp. Like, he's been, like, so he's a guy that's taken a step forward. Kyle Williams, definitely on the roster, right? Mac Hollins, I think, definitely on the roster.
Absolutely.
So, but think, that's five names right there.
Right.
That's all. So, what are you going to keep seven? I don't think so. But, and even if you keep set, like, Chisholm to me is the sixth. Mm-hmm. Even if you kept seven, I mean, is it Baker? Does Josh McDaniels say, hey, I want Kendrick Bourne here, even though he's been injured because I've worked with him before and I like it? Like, what? I don't know. I mean,
so if it's seven, I think that you lean Bourne because he is leadership and he's someone that has had success in the McDaniels offense.
And 800 yards in 21.
But does Kendrick Bourne want to be here as a seventh receiver? And, like, I'm not saying he'll be a malcontent, but he is a guy who's a veteran who I think can contribute for a team that is in the middle of the pack towards competing for a playoff team. So it's going to be a situation where I think the Patriots will want to sit him and his team down and say, look, this is where things are at. We really like you. We want to keep all these guys, but are you willing to be in that role as you continue to try and get back from injury here? And if he says, nah, I'm good, like, give me my walking papers, or why don't you try and trade me? I think that's no harm, no foul. Yeah. But personally, I think you keep him instead of taking a flyer on one of these two guys that hasn't really shown that they're worth the time.
At least Bourne, to your point, has shown it before. But, like, I look at him and I look at a team like San Francisco that traded Deebo Samuel, has IU coming off an injury. Like, if I'm Kendrick Bourne, I might say, hey, I might just go back to the 49ers.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Trade me there or cut me and I'll sign there. He had success there before a little bit. So it's interesting to me because for years now, their receiver group has been really bad, right? And it's still not good, right? Like, let's not confuse ourselves. But
it's not bad, though, now.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that we can hang our hat on.
It's a lot better than it was even a year ago.
And you hope that Drake May eventually gets to a point where having a receiver group that's not bad, bordering on okay, he elevates that into good, right?
Yeah. And I'm not going to ask him to be Tom Brady in 2006 and take Rashay Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney to the AFC Championship game, but
what a roster.
I know. Just that's and this is a separate segment, Tom.
Separate three-hour show.
That AFC Championship game loss bothers me more than Super Bowl 42 in the perfect season. So, and I'm a Patriots nut job just like Fitzy.
They blew it.
But, yeah, that's a whole separate set. But point being, will May get to a point where he can elevate? guys to average to good. Just, you know, can he take in a below average group and make it look average? You know, and I don't know if he's at that point yet. I don't think he's at that point yet, but by the end of this year or early next year, could he be in that group? And you look at this group, Diggs is 31 years old, but you look at the rest of these guys. Booty's a young player. Douglas is a young player. Chisholm's a young player. Kyle Williams is a young player. A lot of young players outside of Hollins and Diggs, and even the guys Polk and Baker were talking about who are going to get cut. A lot of young guys who are hopefully going to, at least if two of them, three of them can ascend with May, then you might be on track to have a pretty good group in a couple years.
I'm excited about Booty, and I know Mego talked about this last week on Six Rings, but I think that he's a guy last year that even amongst the weird season where he was saying kind of weird stuff and sometimes he got it and sometimes he didn't, he flashed. And Drake May basically just playing with instinct was able to find him downfield a bunch of times. Saw it in his first starting action. We saw it at the end of the half there where he had that touchdown. It was 40-plus yard touchdown. So he talked during training camp about coming into year two and year one kind of dealing with injury. And I think that's something that we
didn't...
Because
he had ankle surgery, I think, was it a year before he got drafted or like 6 months? He actually mentioned, I think you and I were at practice, he talked about that.
Right, so it was after practice. And so coming into his rookie year, he was having an off season that he wasn't used to, like coming back from that ankle surgery, right? So kind of a weird rookie year. And then year two, it was a disaster around here. And so coming into year three, he was like, look, I now know that I need to show up here in shape before thinking I can even make this team. Whereas before, he was like using training camp to get back in shape. And so he's finally healthy. He finally has good coaches and a good system around him. He took advantage of those 5 weeks between OTAs and training camp. Came in good shape, and now I think you're finally seeing the Kayshon Booty that we saw early in his college career where
one of the best freshman receivers in the country in 2020.
Had he been allowed to come out after his freshman year, he probably would have been like a top 15, 20 pick.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
I think first, early, second round pick at worst.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So 100%. I think we're finally getting that.
Yeah, and look, they're not going to be a good receiver group, but they will be a lot better. And I know, and I talked about this, Tom, before you came in earlier in the show. And if you missed any of the show, Apple Podcasts, Odyssey app, WEEI.com. And right now, thanks to producer extraordinaire Brian Frazoco, we're even on Twitch. A weekend show on Twitch.
Wow.
Borderline unprecedented stuff. Good thing I did my makeup today, right, Tom?
Before I wish I had known.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we surprised you.
So what happens when you bring Freeze Pops in studio?
That's true. That's true.
Get the
Freeze
TV
Pops, right? Popsicle sticks, whatever his nickname is. Right, exactly.
Unbelievable.
But I think if they can even be the 20th receiver group in the league, and I know we're used to, or Patriots fans, their expectations are contending for Super Bowls. And this, if you could have go from 31st to 20th, and I'd say the same thing about the offensive line, that is a big improvement.
Yeah, and if you spell 20th with a really solid running game, now we're cooking with gas here.
Well, and that's how you get the formula to 9 wins
exactly.
And maybe fighting for... Exactly. Let's go to the phones quickly here before we have trending with Brian. Let's go to Will in the car, wants to talk some Patriots. Will, welcome in.
Yeah, hey, Lyons, great show. Really enjoy. I'm a card-carrying member of the Patriot Nut Club, just like you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
And I'm on board with everything you said. Here's where we differ. I look at that Patriots team last year and I say that's a 2-win team, right? Because the Bengals gifted us a win and the Buffalo wouldn't let us lose. Where I struggle, and then I hear you guys talk about Super Bowl champions that have been cut and contracts that were supposed to be building blocks have now playing in second string and so on and so forth. And this guy might be okay. And if this guy comes, long story longer, how are we getting to 9 wins? I just don't, I hear reality and there's some optimism, but then I hear 9 wins. I just looked at the teams that had 4 wins last year. There's 6 of us now. New York, Cleveland, Jacksonville, the Titans. Do you expect any of them to have 9 wins?
Will, it's a really interesting call, and it's a point that I want to get into next. We're going to get into that in our next segment, because I was talking earlier, Tom, about my expectations for this team, and I think it's very easy to throw out 8 or 9 wins, but we got to be cognizant of the last 2 years combined, they had 8 wins.
Yeah.
So I want to really get into that call. Good call, Will. And of course, because he said nice things about me, duh.
Yeah.
But I want to get into that coming up next, because I think that's a really interesting discussion. Before we do that, though, it is time to trend with Brian for Zocco.
This is John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI. I'm John Lyons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
I got Tom Carroll in here with me. Who, by the way, this is a total unrelated side note. If you don't follow Tom Carroll on social media and all the work he's done for the WEEI social media channels, you're making a mistake.
Doing a disservice to yourself.
Does a terrific job with the social content. I would bet you, Brian, that in the last 12 months, the top 10 viewed EEI social posts, I bet you 8 at a minimum are from Tom.
Oh, at least.
I bet you.
Thank you.
Like that he had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Whether it was his posts or him finding something.
Him grabbing audio. He does it all.
I will say Brad Foe has some bangers.
Yeah, he does.
So he's in there too.
And see, that's my nice way of saying, hey, Tom, why don't you just go on Twitch and find a bunch of clips of me and share them out, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, of course. No, but
he'll be cutting video in the back later.
Yeah, he's just going to be like, he's going to be here at 4 o'clock today. Be like, oh, that son of a bitch. Yeah, why is he doing this?
But, he gave me a compliment. Now I got to do work.
Yeah, now I got to help him. Whatever, jerk. Tom.
Yes.
We had a call right before break from Will in the car that I thought brought up a great point, and it's something that I've talked about a little bit on the air before, and you and I have talked about it at training camp. If you zoom out, because I said before you came in here, and I believe this, I think if you zoom out, the Patriots are on the right track, and their rebuild is headed in the right direction. If you look at the joint practices last week against Washington, what they got this week from Minnesota, some good, some bad, but I think with a good coaching staff, you can learn from it. The roster is better. It feels like they're headed in the right track, but it's a fair question by Will. And this is a team that won four games the last 2 years. And last year, I mean, Cincinnati, I mean, Kyle Duggar forces a fumble on the goal line. Joe Cardona forced another fumble on a punt return. Otherwise, you don't win that game. The Chicago Bears fired their offensive coordinator the day after your game and their head coach a couple weeks later. And the Bills intentionally lost against you. So you really only won one. And I don't want to say you only had one real win.
One real win.
But it was that Jets game that Jacoby Brissett came in and finished off. That and the Bears game, I think, were the only two wins that you can take away and say, hey, they did some things that were sustainable and good, right? So are we being a little too optimistic, do you think, when we say eight or not? Like, because to his point, how can we jump from 4-8 or 4-9?
So I think it's three reasons. The roster is better. The coaching staff is infinitely better. And the schedule is manageable. And I know people like to crap on the,
win.
Look at it. The home slate especially, a place where the Patriots have not played well recently, is extremely manageable. So that for just surface level, three reasons for you. I think the roster is a lot better. I think the coaching staff actually is a coaching staff. And they have a schedule that you can foresee something like 8 or 9 wins as like a ceiling type level for this team.
And you go back to 2023, they lose 13 games, Bill gets fired, all that, right? My heart gets broken, right? Of those 13 losses, I think 8 of them were one possession games. So I mean, you're in a lot of those games. And you go back to last year, as bad as they were, Tom, last year, I would argue 4 wins last year was worse than 4 wins.
I think they actually were the worst team in the NFL last year.
Because Carolina at least kind of got good at the end.
Right. Remember, they were peaking at the right time, and the Patriots had the worst record in the league going into the final week of the year. And they were so bad, they couldn't even lose on purpose.
They lost to the team that got the number one overall pick, too.
Yeah, Tennessee stinks. But you go back to last year, speaking of Tennessee, right? Like, you lost an overtime game against Tennessee. You were one possession game against the Rams, one possession game against the Colts. So I look at this year with a much better coaching staff and more talent, you're not going to win all those games.
No.
But can you win half of your one possession games? Because all of a sudden, I look at this, and I don't want to just be schedule. Like, I think the Raiders is a tough game. Opening weekend.
Yep.
I think going to I think Miami is not that good. I think but going there week two, that's tough. Pittsburgh is good. Buffalo in week 5 is good. But you look at beyond that, like Carolina in week 4, that you should be better than them. New Orleans, Columbus Day weekend. I mean, their quarterback retired.
Yeah, like, New Orleans should be the worst team in the NFL, right?
I think they're in that neighborhood. They won't be good.
And
right?
they might try to be, because you have the Manning kid who might be the number one pick. Also got the New Orleans ties. His grandpa played there. So, like, maybe they tank?
Another nut job thing for me. I actually like Spencer Rattler down there. I'll see. Okay. Let's see how he does.
Yeah,
I might be dead wrong on that. But then, look, beyond that, like, Tennessee is a really bad team. Cleveland is a really bad team. Like, I think Atlanta's pretty good, but they're coming here, right? The Jets, I am a believer in Aaron Glenn. I just think the Jets are going to need a year with him to build it.
Right? And I not believe in Justin Fields in any shape or form.
The Giants are bad, right? So that's where I look at this and I say, like, can you, in the first 4 weeks, can you go 2-2? And then can you beat New Orleans, Tennessee, and Cleveland? Like, that's even if you win 2 of those 3, that's already 4 wins. If you split with the Jets, that's 5. You beat the Giants, that's 6. You beat Miami later, that's already 7. So then it's like, can you win kind of 2 other games? So I do agree with you. I think the schedule is part of it. I also think defensively, 2 years ago, as bad as they were, they had top 7-8 defense in Bills last year. One of the most disappointing things about last year is how big of a step backward the defense took.
Yeah, that front 7 was not good.
And I think this year, you could have the best cornerback tandem in the NFL in Gonzalez and Davis. I think Spillane is an upgrade at linebacker. Now, Milton Williams, I have some questions about.
He looked good yesterday.
He did, and it's not...
He was moving that line.
It's not a talent question with him. It's he played less than 50% of the snaps. Like, so can he do it all year long? And Barmore's... We don't know if he's healthy fully or not. If those two guys are healthy, that's really good. And I think Vrabel, they're going to be well coached defensively. And I think situational football, which is something they struggled against yesterday, I expect them to get better at that as time goes on. And then offensively, I think they're going to be, again, and here's the caveat. If they're 20th offensively, that's a lot better than last year. Like, so that's where, to me, I'm not going to sit here and tell Will in the car and anyone else listening that they're going to win 12 or 13 games to contend for a Super Bowl. But I can see them, you know, beating Tennessee, beating Cleveland, beating Carolina, beating the Jets at least once, if not twice, beating Miami once. Right? And so all of a sudden, the next thing, and what if they steal a win against Tampa Bay? Like that one possession game you lost last year against the Rams, does that turn into maybe a win against Tampa Bay this year? Like, so, yeah, do you, can you split with the Bills? This, I mean, look at last year against the Bills, okay? Just a great team. I think going to win the AFC East again. Drake May threw an interception in the end zone last year in Buffalo. Stevenson had a really bad fumble in the second half. And there was that backwards pass fiasco that was on three different people, four different people. I mean, if you just don't do those things, you might win that game.
And again, that goes back to having good coaching.
Good coaching.
I just don't think that they're going to put themselves in those positions again. And I know we want to take this call here, but absolute apex best case situation, I think the team could win 11 games. Yeah. I'm not saying they're going to. Again, that's apex.
If everything goes right,
I think they could win 11 games. I think if everything goes atrociously wrong, I think their floor is like 6 wins.
Yeah,
I think 8-9 is right in that middle, right in that sweet spot, given what the roster looks like, what the coaching looked like, and what that schedule looks
like. And we're talking about a coordinator in Josh McDaniels, who I'm a big believer in, I always have been. He got Mac Jones as a rookie to throw for 3,800 yards. Like, what, Drake May is better than Mac Jones, talent-wise, as we know.
Full stop.
Not a rookie either. So I'm expecting they're going to be able to work well together. So that's why I think when you look at where the Patriots are at, and another point of this is from a coaching and culture standpoint, Tom, it's year one, right? Because you're third head coach in 3 years. And I know Josh has been here, but for a lot of these guys, it's a new OC. They bring in, you know, new players. But from a roster standpoint, it's kind of year three, if you'll bear with me, because it was 2023 that they draft Gonzalez, Keon White, Kayshon Booty. Last year, it's when they bring in May. They re-sign on Wenu, if you like that or not, whatever. And now this year, of course, they draft, you know, Campbell, Henderson, and they sign all those free agents. So really, it's maybe year 2.5 to 3. So the roster is not at year one. Now, it's not at year five where it's a really great roster, but it's not at year one. And I think Vrabel as a coach, it's not like last year where you have some guy that's way over his head. It's a guy that's been in the AFC Championship game, won coach of the year. That's why I look at it and I say, okay, 4-8 or 4-9 on the surface is a big jump. It might sound a little too optimistic, but when you combine the schedule to kind of where they're at, that's where I can see it.
It happens in the NFL pretty frequently, too.
We saw Washington last year, Houston the year before.
It's not outlandish to think that this team can go from 4-8 or 4-9. It really isn't.
And you look at their division, like, I'm not a big believer in Miami.
No.
Not a believer in the Jets. Again, Jets eventually are there in Glenn, just not yet.
You could split with both of them.
Yeah.
Totally realistically.
Let's go back to the phones. Paulie in Dedham on the Patriots. Paulie, welcome in.
Hey, nice. Thanks for taking the call, boys. You got to step in that front seven watching that game yesterday. I mean, you still got Ellis, who's he's more of a backup inside guy. A great good special teams player playing in the middle. You need some outside help at linebacker, and you definitely need a defensive end. Landry's small, on the left side. The guy's playing the right side, never even heard of. You got to step in that front seven. They were able to run the ball pretty well.
Paulie, thanks for the call. A lot of wind. I don't know if he's calling from a wind tunnel. But look, his point about, so this is another aspect of it. And if you've heard me on EEI before, I might sound like a little bit of a broken record here, but I think it's an important topic for this season. Where they're at in their rebuild is where a lot of teams get to, Tom, where they have now a lot of quality starters, whether it's Gonzalez, Davis, let's talk defensively, Spillane, right, and Peppers, Barmore, Williams. I like Keon White too. But you don't know what the depth is. And if you look at the really good teams, the Eagles last year who go win the Super Bowl, the Chiefs, the Ravens, they don't just have the great players. They also have those mid-tier really good players. I mean, look at the Eagles last year. Jalen Carter, I think, is a future Hall of Famer. I mean, they also had Milton Williams. They
Milton
had Josh
Williams
Sweat.
Was a depth piece for them. And
Josh
now he's
Sweat
be
was a guy that
one.
Left. Yeah, right. Exactly, right? Yeah. And even the good Patriots teams. All those years, the Patriots are good. Yeah, okay, they had Brady and Bill and Gronk and you name, but they also had depth guys that were really, really, I mean, there were years that Julian Edelman was a backup early in his career. You know, like
he had to play nickel corner to stay on the Super Bowl team in 2011.
Exactly, right. Oh, they had guys like Chris Hogan, who people forget about, but was really good for that. Like, they had these depth pieces, too, beyond the stars. And I think now that's something kind of this year I'm watching. Because what do the Patriots do at linebacker if, God forbid, Robert Spillane gets hurt?
Yeah, it's
like,
tough.
Paulie mentioned that. Like, I mean, Christian Ellis, they paid him like a guy they think is going to play defense. I don't know if he's that guy. Like, Gibbons,
he's got good energy. I still need to kind of see
I think
it
he's
for
a
him.
Special. So then, do you move Kyle Duggar and have him play some linebacker like they did with Adrian Phillips a year ago? I don't know. But, like, that's the thing where, like you mentioned before, hey, if everything goes right, they can get to double-digit wins. If everything goes
that's
wrong.
That's apex, yes.
But everything goes wrong, you might be in the 6 or 7 neighborhood. And to me, things going wrong is, well, what does your tight end group look like if Hunter Henry gets hurt? Like, and then what are you doing? Like, what does your tackle group look like if Morgan Moses or Will Campbell has to miss 5 games? Like, then it's like, and even now, like, Will Campbell's going to have some growing pains as a rookie anyway. Morgan Moses is already on NBA-style load management, and I like both of the players. I think they're solid. But what if one of the, not, like, what if they're not available for 5 games? Like, and we pencil in Mike Onwenu as, hey, he's going to be the right guard, and he'll be good. What if he's not available?
Yeah, I think him moving back to right guard is going to be huge for him, though. Yeah. He was vocal about the fact that he hated that they were moving him around last year. Yeah. He's going to be able to settle in and play the position that led to him getting the contract that he got. So I feel good about Onwenu in that right guard spot.
But I'm saying even the depth behind him, though.
But like, the tackle depth is concerning because not to harp too much on a preseason game, but with the Vikings basically made up of just 2s and 3s yesterday. The Patriots 2s and 3s at tackle, Lowe and Jacobs, I thought looked really bad. Yeah. And like, look, they were awful last year. So I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt that they'd come in and yes, they're going to be backups, but they have that year, another year under their belt and they'd be better. They did not look good to me yesterday. I think Lowe had 3 pressures. I mean, it was just not good. And I don't know what Jacobs' numbers were, but I eye test, he looked lost.
Marcus Bryant, a 7th round rookie, is your 3rd best tackle.
On both sides.
Yeah.
He's going to be
your
backup.
Swing tackle. And again, how about this? A rookie tackle with long arms, right? How about that? Right.
That's important.
And look, and Marcus Bryant had a lot to work on, and I'm not going to give a full breakdown here on the 7th round O-lineman. He's gotten better.
I know you want to.
I kind of do. But just, and nothing against him personally, but do you want to rely on a 7th round rookie as your top
it's
swing
concerned.
Tackle with a rookie at left tackle and an older player at right tackle? So that's kind of the point here where for the Patriots, I think their biggest concern going into this year is going to be how does the offensive line look around Drake May? I think the next biggest concern is their overall depth. It's just, and that's just part of the nature of where they're at. Like, that's why if Christian Gonzalez gets hurt, I do feel good about Alex Austin behind him. I think they're pretty good. Like, they're cornered. But, like, if Jabril Peppers gets hurt or Craig Woodson, I don't know if I love what's behind them at safe. And defense, what if Milton Williams gets hurt? Like, I don't know if I love what's behind them.
Yeah, and that's why I think they ultimately will keep Duggar because they need that depth at safety. And they can afford having that contract, right?
Literally.
It's not a situation where the guy's overpaid, and if they got rid of them, yeah, they eat the dead cap, but then they free up something, right? But they can afford it. They still have $60 million in cap space. So maybe they try and address some of those depth issues with guys that, you know, miss the roster at a bunch of different places. But now are you feeling great about depth when it's guys that you're bringing in that didn't make other teams? But maybe you get, like, the best of the bunch, right? Because you have the most money to spend. I don't know. I don't know, man. It's one of those things that they're going to have to manage. And I think that's why Vrabel's being so careful about guys like Moses and Diggs and Davis as they're coming out of these injuries, because he knows how important health is going to be for this team in year one.
Yeah. And for the 508 texter, he says, oh, you're talking what ifs. What if Mahomes goes down for the season for the Chiefs? Okay. Well, if Mahomes got hurt, the Chiefs would still be a decent team because they have a great defense with a lot of depth and they're well coached. Much like we saw in 2008 when the Patriots won 11 games without the GOAT, Tom Brady. Like, so the point of depth is, especially now, 17-game season, one bye week. It's just, that's my, if you ask me, like, what's my worry for this team? Like, what if they get to week 12, right, and a lot of these guys are out? Like, that's the, I guess, concern going forward. Because I think the floor is higher on this team. It's just, you know, I don't know. So, Tom, before we go to break.
Yeah.
3 weeks from today is the Patriots season opener, believe it or not. You've been out at training camp a lot, pretty much every day.
Every day?
Yeah. Right. You were there in the spring. So I've already said I think they're on the right track, and I feel much better about this team than a year ago. But for you, from a big picture standpoint, someone that's been down there all the time, I mean, how do you feel about this? Like, are they doing well? Are they on the right track? Are you worried about them? Are people overrating it? I mean, how do you feel about this team as someone who's been there all the time?
I feel good. And maybe I'm biased because I'm there every day and I'm just eating the propaganda, right? But, I mean, I really go back to the coaching. Like, last year, I was there every day last year. And when Gerard Mayo was in charge, there was just a feeling of dysfunction. And you saw that on the field. And you felt it in the press conferences. And it just permeated, right? Like, something that seems as dumb as he says on a radio interview, we're going to start Antonio Gibson, and then 90 minutes later, Ramondre Stevenson is out there again. And we're like,
no, that was
what's the difference here?
That was a sneaky big red flag.
Right, but yeah. Like in the grand scheme of things, who's starting at running back? Who really cares, right? Because running backs interchange nonstop, right? But it's just that was the microcosm of the dysfunction that was going on there. And then you had all the pieces that came out after the season, and it all just made sense why they won four games again, and it looked way worse than the four-win season they had before under Bill.
I agree. Way worse. Completely.
So when you have Vrabel in there with experienced coaching and just controlling the situation like a guy that gets it and has been there before, and you see him on the practice field running around and he's in every single drill and he's yelling at guys and he's coaching guys up on the side, I just have to think that that is going to lead to a better situation in 2025.
Yeah, and one thing on that before we go to break, last year it felt like they would continually make the same mistakes. This year it feels like they've built off mistakes, which for a young team is what you want to go. We got one more segment with Tom Carroll here. I'm really, by the way, thank you for coming in for this hour. It's
absolutely
flown,
man,
by already. Always a joy doing radio with you. But one more segment with Tom Carroll coming up next. He was at BC football practice yesterday. We're going to spend 2 or 3 minutes talking about BC because Sneaky might be good this year, like really good. And we've got a couple other things on the docket as well. Be right back here on WEEI.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, John Lyons. Happy to be joined by Tom Carroll for the 11 o'clock hour. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to keep talking for the next like 20 minutes so you can't leave, you know, right away at the end of the 11 o'clock hour.
I'll stay as long as you want because when I go home, I have to mow the lawn. So if I can just keep putting that off.
All right. Are you one of those like, I guess I can say this. We're both over 30 guys. Are you one of those over 30 guys that like enjoys yard work and mowing his lawn and all that?
I dread it. And then once I'm in it, I like it.
See, I hate raking. I hate shoveling
snow. It never ends.
Everything else with yard, I like enjoy doing. Like okay. I'll like look for.
I can see that.
I'll be like, I gotta go outside and plant grass seed tomorrow, or I gotta mow the lawn. I gotta do this. I know. My friends are like, dude, what's wrong?
I don't believe you for a second.
No, I swear.
You can
literally ask my family.
It's a
thing. I look forward to it.
Like when you turn 30, like something just switches in your head, and you immediately become 50 years
become
old.
Become a different person.
And I've always, even when I was younger, like when I was a kid, I would like help my dad with yard work, and like as I get older, so even when I was in my 20s, I would be like one of my favorite days of the year, Tom. Is during the third week of April, right around the Boston Marathon, second, third week of April, there's always one or two days that week where it's like unseasonably warm. It gets like 70, 75. And that's my first major yard work day of the year. I look forward to it every spring. I'm like, all right, I look at the weather like a week and a half out. I'm like, all right, what day am I going to be doing yet?
Get the farmer's almanac out there.
Yeah, not quite the almanac. You know, you're close getting there. So I said at the end of last segment, we're going to talk BC football. We'll touch on it. You were there yesterday. And I think, I know college football is not a huge thing around here, but I think there are some compelling storylines around BC. But there was some news that broke within the last half hour. Marcelo Meyer is going to miss the rest of the year with wrist surgery. He's been injured. He's been out since, late July, early August it was. And this is a player that, and you've alluded to this before, you've posted about it on social media, has not played in August in his pro career, to my knowledge. It's been a long time since he's played baseball in August. He's had injury issues. And coming into this year, Tom, in spring training, Christian Campbell got the second base job, but Marcelo Meyer had a better spring training. I thought he should have got that job.
I was surprised that he was the one they went with over Meyer, especially with Campbell having such a slow start in spring training, too. It's like he came on late. It's like he peaked at the right time.
And he played ball with the contract, too.
That's true.
I wonder. But point being, in spring training, I'm like, all right, this dude could be like your second
baseman
or shortstop of the future. He came up, and I think he's not been as good as Roman Anthony since he came up, but he had some good moments, right? I mean, he wasn't awful. He looked like a guy who was kind of earning his way in the major
leagues. And great in the field.
And especially compared to what they've had in the field.
Yes.
But now we see him miss this. I mean, obviously the wrist injury is the wrist injury. Are there any concerns? Because we heard so much about this big four. With Kyle Teal and Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell, and they trade Teal for Crochet, which, again, great. Teal, sneaky, doing okay in Chicago.
But you do that deal 10 out of 10 times.
But is there any concern that this big four, which became a big three, is going to become a big two with Anthony and Campbell? Because is this injury thing with Meyer, is this going to be a regular thing with him?
You hope not. Right? Yeah. And
because it feels like it's kind of been a regular thing.
Yeah,
that's the
problem is we're trending in that direction here. And I know that he got the injection a few weeks ago and they thought maybe that would allow him to push through this and get to the offseason before having surgery. So part of me wants to think that that was a good sign that, okay, he knows that this is a problem for him, that he can't stay on the field and he's doing everything in his power to kind of change the narrative on that front. But he's a young guy, and like you said, he hasn't been able to play deep into a season yet because of injuries. So, like, I am I don't know. I'm lowercase C concerned. Yeah, it's not like something I want to give up on the player because of, but it's something that they need to monitor and be aware of moving forward. And I'm sure they are well aware, right? So we don't need to tell them that Marcelo Meyer has this issue. They're well aware.
And they traded Kyle Tier for Crochet, but Narvaez has been I think he should have been an all-star. Like, he's been great. So it's not like, you know, you've had a black hole at catcher. Like, you've been good there. But I think when you project the future of the Red Sox, obviously Anthony is their best player, a big part of it. But you kind of think that the middle of your infield was going to be Marcelo Meyer at short and Christian Campbell at second. And I think eventually Christian Campbell will be good and he'll be okay. And he's been
playing better.
Exactly.
Even though Cora was negging him really hard the other night. I don't know, did you see those comments?
I did not.
It was weird because he's been playing well. So it was like they gave him this sort of softball pregame question, like, what have you been seeing from Campbell? What are the reports? Where everyone had read the same reports that he'd been playing well. And then Cora just kind of took it in a different direction. He was like, he's still got a lot to improve on and blah, 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 and shaping fastballs, and he's not really going to get that down there. And I don't know. I was surprised by the answer. So it's one of those things where if you're just looking at the numbers, you would think Campbell should be back up here at some point. But listening to Cora's words, it kind of told a different story. So I don't know. I feel weird about the Campbell situation.
And maybe because, like, and again, I don't like Rafaela playing second base, and I know he's had, he's been good there. I just think that dude's the best defensive center fielder in the AL.
Yeah, it feels like a waste.
Right. You just should keep him there. And like Abreu, to me, like every single night, Rafaela should be playing center and Abreu should be playing right field and figure out the Duran Anthony situation. And I know it's awkward. I get all that. Okay.
It's just Cora doesn't want to play him at DH.
And I
kind of get it.
And Yoshida's had, over the last few weeks, Yoshida's kind of come on a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's made his own case. And I think and this is a discussion for another day, but next year, you know, one of those guys, not here, maybe two, you know, other.
Right.
But you just, my concern, again, small C concern is a year from now, is it just Anthony that's up here? Because I think you want a year from now for it to be Anthony, Meyer, and Campbell. And you look at that and you say, wow, you put them with Rafael and Abreu and Narvaez, and what a young core you have. With now Campbell having struggles, and I think Campbell will be back up here before the end of the year, but is Meyer a guy that just always kind of has that frustration?
This is why people are okay trading prospects. And I'm in that camp too. Like, this is why I was completely fine with them trading Teal for a guy like Crochet. Yeah. Like, it's lottery tickets.
And I think a good GM, and this is something Dave Dombrowski was great at, knows which prospects you can afford to go with. Like, he didn't trade Benintendi or Devers for Chris Sale. He traded Moncada, and he was right.
Right.
Like that, and we'll see if Breslow was right about Teal. Like, if Teal ends up having a great career and Meyer kind of has these injuries issues a lot, maybe we'll look back on that. Yeah, so we'll see. All right. I'm going to talk more Red Sox coming up after you're gone. I did want to spend a couple minutes here, and I know we got to go to break soon. You were at BC football practice yesterday. So let's just spend a minute or two on that. New starting quarterback, Dylan Longoren, from Alabama. O'Brien knows him. I mean, this is a BC team. The ACC, Clemson's a national title contender. I think Syracuse is legit good. Miami's good. UNC's going to be a lot better.
Why are they going to be better?
They have a pretty good head coach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was down there in April. I was like, all right, these dudes are going to be better. They got some talent in the portal. Where does BC, like, is BC, do they ever, and SMU was in the playoff last year, I should have mentioned them. Is there a reasonable chance BC could fight to be a top 15, top 20 team in the country? Or even can they be one of those top three or four teams in the ACC? I think there's a lot of excitement around BC, but you've been down there. What do you see from this team?
So to project them to be a top 20 team this year, I think would be a stretch.
Okay.
I think they can be an upper echelon ACC team if they are hitting their ceiling, right? We talked about the ceilings with the Patriots. I think BC's ceiling is something like 7-8 wins. Now, I do have a lot of concern about their offensive line because a lot of their core offensive linemen, I think three of their five starters, went to the NFL. And they had a tackle who left practice the other day with injury. We don't know what the deal is there yet. So that's concerning. With that said, Dylan Lonergan, the Alabama transfer, won the starting job. O'Brien called that way earlier in camp than he did last year for Castellanos and Grayson James. And Castellanos was the incumbent. So, and look, me and guys like Kevin Stone that were there a lot, we all saw how good Grayson James was, so we understood why O'Brien waited so late into camp to call that. But he called the Lonergan-Grayson James thing early. And I think part of that was because, look, he came here from Alabama, so there was probably some quid pro quo with that. Like, hey, like, name me the starter sooner rather than later. But I think that means something because O'Brien's not the type of guy that's just going to give a job away. Like, if Dylan Lonergan came in and stunk, I think Grayson James would have held the job here. So he's looked a lot better in recent weeks. I've been up to BC a couple times this summer. It's been harder to get up there. Just my schedule's been crazy. But from the first practice I saw him to the scrimmage yesterday that I was at, night and day difference. Looks way better. So I feel really good about Dylan Lonergan. I think they're going to improve at quarterback. And a guy in Ty Lockwood at tight end. I think that you have Lonergan and Lockwood come in with that chemistry to come in as like these highly touted transfers. And I think that they're going to have a really nice connection early in the season here. And they're going to be able to build off of that. And then a guy like Jaden Skeet at receiver, he's coming in healthy this year. I think he's going to be a baller. If you follow BC football on Instagram and across their socials, you saw the crazy catch he had the other day at practice. I think that that's just scratching the surface of what this guy could be for that offense. So if they can protect Lonergan and give him time, I think that they can be an upper echelon ACC team. I think the top end of the ACC is really good. Clemson, SMU, I think FSU will be better. I mean, they had a season from hell, right? But BC can be in that mix. And then year three for O'Brien, that's when I think you're cooking with gas. You've got Lonergan in here for a full season, so he's going to be a year older and a year better. And then you'll have O'Brien really bringing in his guys, and his culture will finally be established. I think this is still kind of like that building block year.
All right. He is Tom Carroll. I know we went over there, but I wanted to hear your take.
Sorry.
I wanted to hear your take on BC. Obviously, the big news we talked about, Marcelo Meyer now out for the year with wrist surgery. I'm going to talk more about that coming up next. Tom, thank you so much for joining me for this past hour. It was a lot of fun. Stay tuned here on WEEI. I got some more Red Sox coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.